Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz every, every Thursday, sorry, my computer was going crazy, every Thursday at 4, Mike Lombardi joins us. Mike, we are honored. Thanks for joining us today.
I always love to talk to you guys.
What's
good
up,
to be
Mike?
Here. Hello, Ike.
Yes, sir.
So, Mike, I want to paint a picture for you.
Okay. Let's
pretend you are still an executive in the NFL, you're general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. And you just won a football game, and you see your head coach yelling at fans, and then as the press conference that Nick had on Sunday, what is your reaction to that if you were in the building?
I think I would have not let them leave the stadium and called them up to my office and said, at what point are you going to grow up? Mm. You know, you have a job that's harder to get than a United States senator. You're one of 32 people on the planet. Your job is to show the other players how to act, behave, and think. You are representing the franchise. You stand on the sidelines that some of the greatest coaches in the history of this sport have ever stood on, and you disrespect them the way you disrespect them. At what point are you going to grow up? I get it, your first year you were a young coach, but this is year three. This is Philadelphia. You piss off the fans, you won't be in this job very long. You will not be here. I don't care how much you win. You're not going to be here. They're not going to like you. And so when you do that, you're losing the battle. And what point do you show them you've grown up? Why are you going to stop being a hothead? When are you going to stop acting like you're a 16-year-old who just got back from hanging out with his buddies at the beach? That's what I would have told him.
So let me ask you this from a player perspective. The players have largely, or everyone that's been asked, seem to like Nick and enjoy his, I guess, fiery nature. How much stock or how much meaning do you put into that sort of response from players about him?
I think to me it's about, well, the players are 4-10 over the last 14 games.
Right.
That's what I put stock in.
Yep.
What are you doing? I don't put stock in what they say. I mean, every time the player loves the coach, you're not winning. It's what Bill Walsh used to say all the time. When the assistant coaches are happy, we're probably not playing very good. You know, because nobody's pushing or demanding from the players. It's the same thing. I mean, look, we want a really good locker room, but we want a locker room that works. We want a locker room that wins. You know, and so every time the players say he's a player coach, that's meaningless to me. It's like, what does that mean? You know, so look, I think to me, part of the job of being a head coach in the NFL is to make good decisions, is to have your wits about you, is to show maturity. And Nick just refuses to want to do that. And he puts on a fight with people that he just can't win. You just can't win that fight. You know, I'm not saying you have to cater to the player, to fans, but you have to understand your audience. You got to know what you're dealing with here in Philadelphia. And anything short of a Super Bowl, everybody's going to want to get him fired. And he's made some horrendous decisions that maybe are part of his decisions, but maybe they're part of the analytical community that he stands by that has alienated the fan base. And I think he's going to have to do a better job of explaining why he does things during the course of a game.
I wonder if that's... You find that to be probably one of his bigger issues is how he does communicate. Now, the thing is, not just to the media or to the fans, but even I'm wondering with the players. They say they like him or what have you, but then the slow starts and a lot of it being execution, that comes from coaching. Would you agree
sure
with that?
Does.
Yeah, that comes from
sure
coaching.
Does. And then when he sits there and says, well, you know, we haven't scored a point. That doesn't matter. We haven't scored a point in the first quarter. Yes, it does. You've only scored over 21 points once since the opening game. I mean, there's something wrong with your offense here. In 4 weeks, you played against the Cleveland Browns. Now, I know you could have scored at the end of the game, but at the end of the day, you're having a hard time putting points on the board. So, like, and don't tell me the first quarter not scoring points. You hired a guy that's universally – everybody in the media thinks he's the greatest offensive coach since Sid Gilman. So, I mean, you haven't scored a point in the first – I mean, most teams score. The Green Bay Packers have scored 90 points in the first half. The Eagles have scored 41.
That's a big difference, Mike.
Yeah. And Green Bay played a backup quarterback for two of those games.
Right.
That's right. That's right. So, like, don't like, look, to me, the answer when they say, well, what's going on with the first quarter? I mean, you got to say, look, we got to get into it. Look, here's a guy that he scored 204 points in the second quarter 2 years ago. They played from in front 2 years ago. They won those games because they dominated the second quarter. Nobody could stay even with them. In the second half, the people stayed even with them, but they couldn't handle it because they were running that six-back offense. Nobody was used to it, and they were really good. But now the six-back offense, people understand how to defend it. Their offense isn't nearly as good as it was then, even though they keep thinking it's going to get better and turn around. They turn the ball over. I mean, now they can't really rush the passer at any level that they did that year. That year they had 60 sacks. From their defensive line alone, they had 70 on the season. They had 60 from their D line. This year, they have 11 sacks in five games. So you're not getting there. So your team's not playing complementary football to one another that you need to do. And I think that's got to be an issue. So you can't just dismiss it and say, "Well, we just that's just the first quarter." No, it's not. It's part of the game. It's part of how you went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You play from in front. Your whole concept of your organization is built on one principle and one principle only. We're going to score early, and then we're going to rush the passer, and we're going to create the lead. We're going to sack the quarterback, and we're going to turn the ball over with our defensive line. That hasn't happened.
Mike Lombardi with us, as he is every Thursday at 4. Do you think the Eagles can be a high-scoring, dominant offense moving forward with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback?
I think there's some concerns about that. I think there's no question. I think the Eagles need to go back to what the Eagles are best when they run it and they play action it and they get him to where it's a high-low read on the outside. He's throwing it up the field. I mean, look, they've got enough talent to do it. But if you get him into too many of these third downs and too many of those situations, it becomes problematic. And I think that's the issue. And look, they've got to be able to run the football effectively. I think when they were really good, Miles Sanders had 1,200 yards. Now, Miles Sanders has been in oblivion, since he went down to Carolina. We don't know where the hell he is. But they were really good when he did that. And I think ultimately that's what they got to get back to. They're good when they look. A.J. Brown is averaging 21 yards a catch. I mean, he's only had 11 catches, but it's big plays and it's run and control. It's not what they want to do in Philly because they want to throw the ball. But I think the more they throw it, the less effective they become, and I think that's part of the issue they need to handle. They turn the ball over. Hurts has turned it over too much during this 14-game stretch.
We had, speaking of the running game, we had Kurt Warner on earlier, and he talked about one of the ways to get the running game to be more effective if you're going to be primarily a run team is to have Hurts under center, in that it gives Saquon Barkley a better chance to run downhill, gives you a better chance of play action, that sort of stuff. But the Eagles don't seem to want to do that, and it would seem that is not something that Jalen is comfortable doing.
No, because he's never really done it before, and I agree with Kurt. Kurt's completely right about that. You want to be able to do that. You want to be able to handle those situations, and you want them under center for a hard play action. What does play action do? It's a cliche. Well, play action separates the defense. I played linebacker. When there's a good run team and you fake the handoff to that back, you got to step up.
Yes, sir.
When you step up, you're not in the passing lanes. You separate yourself from that. It helps. It makes easier throws for the quarterback. I think that's what he needs to do, and you need to kind of work your way through it and kind of see how that goes. But I think there are definitely a lot of these teams, Spike, would be much better if they were under center. I mean, it's a joke. Everybody just does what everybody else does. You have to zig when everybody else zags in this league. And the good teams, these run teams, these teams like the Eagles, for example, they're a horrible team when they play. If they play against a two-back team that can run the ball, their run fits are just really not very good. So if they play San Francisco, if they play Detroit, teams like that can run the ball and have two-back runs, they're not really conducive to handle those. That becomes a real issue for your team. So you have to be able to do multiple things. And I think, look, when you get to it and you see the fourth quarter, you've got to be able to throw the ball effectively in the fourth quarter when you're behind in a game. And I don't think Philly can do that all the time.
What's your thoughts on a team getting better, right? We obviously know the Eagles aren't playing great right now and certainly don't appear that they're playing to their potential. But what, 12 games left to go? 12 games left to go. Do you believe that they can be a better version than what they are right now? Or is this just who they are?
No, I think you got to get better. I think you got to practice. I think that's what separate. I thought that was the number one thing this weekend what you saw from teams. Teams that keep practicing, the Harbaughs, Baltimore keeps getting better. The Chargers are getting better. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid's teams get better because they practice. They really go after. I was excited to see the Eagles practice yesterday in pads. Like, it's not a walkthrough. You got to practice football. You can't worry about injuries. You've got to work on fundamentals and techniques, and you've got to improve, and your young players have to get better. That's part of what the long season makes you do. You just can't sit there and say, well, we're just going to wait until the end of the year, and we're all going to be healthy, and we'll be ready to go. That doesn't work. It never works. But to me, that's what you have to do. What the team is in October cannot be what the team is in December. You've got to improve every single week. Now, the rules make it hard. The rules make it really hard because it limits one hard practice a week. You know, you can't only have pads on one day. But if you're not out there working and rocking, I know everybody's scared of injuries, but you're not getting better. And the teams that get better, I think Washington, one of the reasons they've improved is because every week they've gotten better. You can see it. Quinn's working the team. And their conditioning's improving. One of the things that hurt the Eagles last year was their conditioning was horrendous. I mean, they get to by the November, they were out. They could two plays and had to come out. They were like a hockey line. They couldn't stay on the on the ice. So their conditioning has to stay good because even though it's not as hot as it was early in the season, it's still a conditioning game. When you're out there in 2 minutes and you're trying to rush the passer and you're not in shape, you're not going to be very effective.
So, Mike, the final question I'll ask you is take it back to where we started beginning. You are in charge of football operations for the Philadelphia Eagles, and you see the personnel you have and the coaches you have, so on and so forth. What would your confidence level be in this team with the personnel you have becoming a top three or four team in the NFC?
I'd be really worried about my secondary being able to cover people. I really would. I don't think we have really good coverage people. I think we're young back there. I think it's going to be a challenge to really win on the outside in man-to-man. I'd be very concerned about that, and I would be concerned about that part of my defense and my lack of pass rush. You know, they put a lot of money in that defensive line, and you know Bryce Huff has done that. What, he has a half a sack, mm-hmm. got two quarterback hits, that's all he has. I'd be worried about where am I going to get pressure from and how am I going to help my secondary, because the Eagles' concepts on defense have always been we're going to be less in the secondary, but we're going to be really good up front to take away from that. And if we're going to beat Detroit, if we're going to beat Green Bay again, if we're going to beat Minnesota, if we're going to beat San Francisco, we're going to have to play really good in the back end. And then offensively, I would just be really worried about, are we going to come up with an identity, or are we going to keep trying to force things on because we want to throw the ball all the time?
All right, Mike. Well, I'm hoping we beat the Giants on Sunday, man. I do not want to feel what this city is going to feel like after this week.
Look, if
we get a loss.
Out, it's interesting. The betting line just, this line that went down to 3.5, it opened at 5.5. People are betting. Now, the Giants don't have Andrew Thomas at left tackle.
Yep.
So their two tackles, they're not very good at tackle. And it takes them 16 plays to kick a field goal. They have no explosiveness, even when they have Malik Nabers. So if they can't win this game, I mean, this is two games they should win. Now, they got to go to Cincinnati. That's going to challenge their secondary. That's going to be a problem. But Cincinnati's problem is in the front. But I think this is a game they should win. If they don't win, there's going to be panic.
There's already panic, buddy. Yeah. All right, Mike. We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, yep. Mike Lombardi. The Twitter question is sponsored by Marsh Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Is Sunday versus the Giants a must-win for the Eagles? 86% say yes.
I think I'll change my mind by the time.
Is that must-win?
Yeah. By the time we get to tomorrow. Yeah.
Imagine this city if they lose on Sunday.
Oh, geez, Louise, man. It's
going
to be.
They're going on a run.
I like that you feel that way, though. I'm with you.
But my gut's saying.
You gonna, can we discuss that? You know, let's talk about Raji, then we'll discuss it next. Raji in Philly, you're on WFP. What's up, Raji?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Much
sounds
better.
Good, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, it's got to get some fresh air. But, just love the conversation, Spike. If the Giants beat us, you think you're a curse on our city with the New York transition? You know, the Knicks are going to be better than the Sixers.
No, they're not.
The baseball teams are surpassing the Phillies, and the Giants beat us, man. I think we got to move you back, man. Maybe do a little hybrid thing. You got to, like, work from New York and just...
Yeah, you may have to work from remote.
I don't want to work remote. I like coming to the office. The COVID, I still came to the office. Christ's sake. You want me sitting at home all day?
I'm just saying.
No.
I appreciate you on the radio, though, man. I love how you guys work. I was asking more Giants technically. Like, do you think because of the Hard Knocks fiasco with the Giants, they're going to prevent Saquon from balling out against us? So we need to rely on Jalen Hurts this week?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's going to be, Raji. Now, we'll see if they're effective in trying to bottle up Saquon. But if I'm a Giants defender, I'm on that team, there's no way I'm allowing Saquon Barkley to come in here and run up and down the field on us.
Yeah, I agree, Ike. I mean, I think that we got to counter with our offense with that. And I know Mailata's out. I know Thomas is out for them, so Mailata's out for us. So the tackles, you know, I don't know what that's going to do with our offensive line. But, I'm just worried, man. Like, Spike, you got me thinking about, like, all three of our teams are declining. Our stars are getting older, and you guys are bringing up the Flyers now, so I'm just getting worried.
Meechkoff's only 19.
Meech!
Yeah.
Yeah, man, if the Flyers win the championship out of all the four teams, man, I'm just, you know, I don't know what the future holds for our other three sports. But
Well, Raji, I don't want to completely say that your theory about me is off. However, it is letting the general managers and players on these teams off the hook quite, you know, like you're just blaming me. Maybe you should blame Howie and blame Dombrowski. I didn't sign Trey Turner. I didn't sign Taiwan Walker. You know, here's the other thing. Taiwan Walker also came from New York.
That's true.
And got down
That's
here. True. Maybe he's That's the true. Problem.
He's part of the problem for sure.
I'd be a better fifth starter than Taiwan Walker would. All right, Raji.
I mean, yo, you're right. Yo, I think that's a good point. Wheeler. We got Wheeler, but we got Taiwan too. But
yes.
I got a 2000 to 2010. I know you guys are not political, so I'm going to stay away from the Crips and Bloods of the political party. But
thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you Jay-Z because he broke out on Hard Knock Life. My favorite album is Reasonable Doubt, but I think he broke out in the 2000s.
But Hard Knock Life was like 96 or 97.
No, the Volume 2, right?
Wasn't that 2000? Volume 2.
Yeah. But that the Hard Knock Life, the first one was definitely 90s.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely because I was in college. I remember playing at clubs and stuff.
Sure.
But Raji,
I still like the answer.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
Yes.
Jay-Z
didn't become the face of rap until the 2000s.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because
it started in the 90s, and then it definitely, he became that in the 2000s.
Yeah, he was whack in the 90s.
Is it because of his album he did with Kanye? That one where there was a...
No, when he did the...
That was a great album.
Him and Justin Timberlake, is that when he...
Well, whatchamacallit blew him up, Hard Knock Life. It's a hard knock.
Yeah, but that's 90s.
No, I'm saying that's what started his blow up
to me, which made
him mainstream. And then 2000, he took over rap. I mean, he basically took over the rap game.
And then it'll all be over once it comes out that he was at all those parties.
Oh, yeah, and you know that.
Yeah, that's almost over. He better win this today because we never know when the end of Jay-Z is going to be.
His reign is coming to an end.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be forever, Jay-Z. I'm sure he and Beyonce are working overtime to get rid of those lists, man. Those, you know, who was where.
Beyonce's probably a bigger face of the 2000s than Jay-Z, right?
No.
Ooh.
I don't know, man.
What?
No.
Popularity-wise?
Queen Bees?
If we're talking...
Put it this way. I think when they got together, this is just my opinion, I think she raised his profile.
I agree.
I don't think he raised her profile.
I'll have to think about that.
Great.
I'm going to think about it. I'm not going to disagree, but I'm going to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that sarcastic great, because you just did it again, but you did it with the Brad Pitt thing.
Well, I mean, before, Jay-Z was just a street rapper rapping about... I'm just saying how he was viewed.
Yes.
Beyonce brought him into with women. Like it's like Taylor Swift.
That's
a whole new fan base.
Well, yeah, but Jay-Z is a bigger deal than friggin' Travis Kelce.
Sure, I thought she was going to say he's a bigger deal than Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I thought we were going to go overboard.
No, I'm just saying, you know, Travis Kelce's star was raised huge because of Taylor Swift. I mean, he is a...
With women.
With everybody.
Now, if you're a football fan, you knew who the hell Travis Kelce was.
Well, but think of there are people who aren't football fans.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to men, most men are.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yes, but overall icon status, Travis Kelce doesn't get that without Taylor Swift.
Without a doubt.
But Jay-Z yes. had it without Beyonce. That's all I'm saying.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. I think she raised him. I think she raised his profile, man.
She's not going to hear this, you guys. You don't have to.
No, I'm just saying. when he started doing duets with Beyonce,
yeah.
he became more interesting to everybody in pop culture.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree that it raised.
Rap doesn't have the same reach. Back then, it certainly did.
Back then, it didn't. Today, it does.
Yeah,
today,
yes,
it does.
Yes, yeah, today, yeah. it does. But back then, it didn't reach like Beyonce did.
Coming up next, Jack has a dream.
Yes.
And that dream is that Bill Belichick is the head coach of the Eagles next year.
Now, Jay-Z is worth more.
Yes, he is.
He's definitely worth more than yes. Beyonce. Yes.
So, and that's why he can't ever get divorced, because then Beyonce becomes...
Half of his. Yes,
yeah. So Jack's dream is that Bill Belichick coaches the Eagles next year. But there could,
fly, Eagles, fly.
There could be a wrench in that dream, and we will explain to you what that wrench is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, there's going to be a wrench in your energy bills this winter if you don't replace those old drafty windows. Because when it starts getting cold outside and that cold air starts coming through those old drafty windows, that's going to be on you. So Gaida is going to help you fix that. Just go Gaida right now, because they're helping you not only by giving you high quality windows and doors, but giving you a better price. Buy one, get one half off. You do it with doors, do it with windows. Buy a door, get another door 50% off. Buy a window, get another window 50% off. Mix and match them up, buddy, because the more you buy, the more you're going to save. You buy 10 of these things, 5 of them are going to be 50% off. Also, you could start your whole project with no money down. You're going to get interest-free financing up to 18 months. But here is my warning to you. It's not going to last forever. It's only a limited time. There are restrictions. So to find out more, what I want you to do is call 877-GO-GUIDA to get a free, no-obligation in-home estimate, or go to goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. If you are planning on Bill Belichick, there is a wrench in that plan. We will get to that right after we talk to Corey in Columbus. Corey, you're on WIP. You're the like the seventh hitter today, so you're like the Brandon Marsh of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Well, I thought you were about to, you know, talk about Bill Belichick, but, you know, it's better to bring me to the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, man, Spike. Hey, Ike is right. What you talking about? You talking about the Queen Bee? That's why she made this song, Upgrade You. She had a
thing. That's
like,
true.
You wearing jerseys and jeans. I put you in the Armani suit. Gotta let me upgrade you. Man, he didn't come a billionaire until he got with the Queen. Man, Queen B, it ain't even close, baby. Jay-Z, you a goat and all that, you know, entrepreneur, but Queen B took you to the next.
Lot of R&B singers, and very many Jay-Zs.
He went from ashy to classy when he got with Beyonce.
Hey, Spike, you a bulldog. I love you. You love to argue. But you know what I noticed about you, Spike?
It's in my blood, brother. Yeah.
You know what you got that Otis syndrome. You know what Otis is? Otis syndrome?
No.
Also a Jay-Z song.
Well, I know Otis is a Jay-Z song. Well, that was a Crown song. It was a
Kanye.
Otis was a Jay-Z Kanye song. Yep. But yeah, go ahead.
But I remember all the Temptations when he was like, they coming to see the Temptations. He said, ain't nobody coming to see you,
Otis.
Yeah, we coming to listen to the Afternoon Show, Spike. Come on now. I think this is a solo act.
No.
Mike Eskinen.
Look, Corey, just because you're used to the person sitting in this chair not having any opinions doesn't mean that I don't.
Oh, now he's throwing.
I'm just saying.
Hey, but let's get on the topic at hand. Yeah. Yes, this is a must-win Sunday. Every game, and today, like 6-2, 7-3 is must-win. They got some kind of disease going through this locker room, and they got to get this cured. And the only way to cure this is winning. And I don't care if Jalen Hurts got to hand the ball off 50 feet. Because, see, I know what y'all want to try to do. Y'all want to try to twist it. I don't see – I'm a Jalen Hurts supporter. That's my
really?
Man. But I don't give a damn about how they win. I don't care if he throw the ball 0 times and we hand it off 50. If we win the game, that's all I care about. I'm birds over everything, and I need to get this win, and I need to get this, you know, this mentality and this bad, you know, juju out of my locker room. So we got to win against the New Jersey Giants on Sunday. It's a must-win, a must-W. And you know what? Jalen Hurts might go ahead and have a good game. I might throw that in there. You know, he might do a little something-something on Sunday.
Might need him to.
Yeah.
Might need him to.
Well, if the Giants are going to decide that Saquon's not beating him, it's going to be.
I don't care about no Giants. You, the New Jersey Giants. Please, that's the opening act, man. Come on, man. We ain't worried about them.
Well, I'd be worried about a couple of guys on their defensive line if I were you. Yeah,
I ain't worried about who am I supposed to be worried about? Sexy Dexy. Come on, man.
Dude, he's got 7 sacks.
That's
he's
cool.
a tackle.
Hey,
damn, 7?
Hey, he's got Garrett, 7 Miles sacks.
Damn. Defensive player
that's pretty
year.
Good.
He had a blocked field goal, but I ain't seen touch the quarterback.
Look, and by the way, Burns is there too. Brian Burns is there too, who's also really good. Burns is going to, he'll probably just line up over Fred Johnson
Thomas.
The whole time.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's all right. What Shannon's trying to say, that's all right. That's
all right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, your boy better have a good game.
Yeah. Hey, man, this,
why are we
I'm
talking
like Jack,
like
we going on a run. Like I said, it's a must-win until we 7-3.
Wait till Jack Fritz saves the Eagles season.
Let me get my icon.
Yeah, of the 2000s.
That.
Okay.
Yep. So this is this above a lot of people's heads. See, because me, I was you know, a 90s baby, but I grew up in the 2000s. Remember how Mia Hamm was like the lady soccer player on all the commercials with Jordan and all that?
Oh, yeah.
She was.
That's my icon of the 2000s.
Mia Hamm?
Yeah.
That's a big answer.
I don't ever try to dip me.
That's a good answer.
Man, I know who she is.
Okay.
Corey's
how
like.
How do you go with me? Hold on. Listen, I know there's one other female that was much more of a face of the 2000s than Mia Hamm.
Right.
You right, but I didn't know if somebody already said that.
Okay.
Misty May Traynor?
I don't want to give, you know, a big ass off the board. I'm trying to mix it up. I create.
Okay, my bad, my bad.
This guy's like, Jay-Z's not really that big. I'm picking Mia Hamm. What are you talking about? All right, Corey.
All right.
Thank you, man. Wow, what a call from Corey.
Mia Hamm, I would not have expected that.
By the way.
She was a North Carolina player. That's why she was in the commercials.
By the way. This guy, Jack Fritz over here, does a new Twitter poll, by the way, which is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers.
What did he do?
Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's, online at marks-jewelers.com.
Just like I make you feel like a world champion every day.
Does Spike need to move back to New York if the Eagles lose to the Giants on Sunday? Now, for what it's worth, I have not moved. I still live in North Jersey.
There, yeah.
And I don't think there's a job for me in New York. What do you think the poll results are here?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine that's over 90%.
81%.
Oh, 81, right, not bad.
Yeah. Not bad.
Warming up to some people.
I just don't like how we're taking away responsibility from the sports teams and putting it all on me. Does that mean, but by the way, this is just like the Bryce thing. If it turns around, do I get to take credit?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, well, nobody wanted to give me credit when I made Bryce hustle. You know, and have a good game.
One game. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
For one game.
Well, that's on him.
You couldn't pull all the stops.
Yeah, that's on him. Yeah.
couldn't do something in the NLDS.
Well, JT doesn't listen to the radio station. Trey Turner doesn't listen to the radio station. That one's on you, Fritz.
Yeah. Trey definitely shouldn't listen to the radio station.
No,
you can't handle it.
No. Wait till you're in Detroit with Tobias, then you can listen to the radio station. You guys can listen together. All right. So, if you've heard, it's been approved that Tom Brady is now a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's going to still be an announcer, a national announcer, is beyond me. But he is a Raiders owner now. Kirk Minahan, who used to be a host on our station in Boston, WEEI, and now does a podcast for Barstool, still in Boston, has connections within Boston. And Kirk said the following. So if you had a dream that Bill Belichick was going to coach here, I think Tom Brady's word, and there is something, you know, we think of the Giants with Bill Belichick, you know, that he might go there, but there is something Hollywood-esque about him going to the Raiders. He seems like he could be a really good Raiders head coach, I think.
Yeah, I would have never envisioned him in the silver and black, but yeah, I guess so. I mean, especially if Tom Brady is there and is going to try to sell him on coming to Vegas. There's no quarterback there.
Yeah.
So
not right now.
Yeah, so they would certainly now they find a way to get Shedeur Sanders.
They could.
Yeah.
They could sign Sam Darnold.
Could sign Sam Darnold this offseason. That would be if I'm Bill Belichick, I don't have time for a rookie quarterback.
No.
Well, yeah, especially because of the Mac Jones debacle.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, and he's not going to be a guy that develops anybody, so you may as well get a veteran in there if you're going to get Bill Belichick.
Well,
he's going to have some options, man. I mean, the Giants might be actually playing too well. They might believe in Dable.
I don't think it matters.
Either way.
Yeah.
Jets, possibly Giants, possibly Eagles, possibly Cowboys. The Cowboys, should be the Cowboys, and Las Vegas. I mean, that's five.
Yeah.
That should be landing spots for him.
See, the thing with the Cowboys.
Does he want to deal with Jerry Jones?
That's the thing with the Cowboys. Like, does he want to be involved in that?
By the way, I don't know if you saw his follow-up quotes, but Jerry Jones doubled down on what he said on a podcast with Diane Rossini. And he said something to the effect of, you know, if people are going to say that about me, it's not going to be people that I'm paying that say that. And he does not pay those guys in Dallas at all. I don't think Jerry's paying so many people.
He don't even know.
He doesn't know. He does not pay Shannon RJ in Dallas one penny. So, yeah, I guess unless Jerry Jones is willing to say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore as GM or whatever, but I don't think Jerry Jones walks away from
that. There's no way he's walking away from being a GM.
And if Tom Brady got rid
of two Hall of Fame coaches.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, Yeah, if the option to go to the, now, if the Raiders need a quarterback, we mentioned Sam Darnold, you know, who is going to be a free agent. Could I interest him in a young, but a quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl, has 5 seasons under his belt, is already under contract? You know, he just wins.
Trade Jalen.
Yeah.
Trade Jalen. Okay.
Also, Carson a free agent.
Oh God.
Broncos a free agent this summer.
Come on.
That's right.
Come on.
Patrick Mahomes keeps this nonsense up. We're gonna put Carson in.
Yeah. If Patrick keeps stalling this offense out, they're gonna need a real quarterback in there.
On a side note.
Yeah.
I've already put him on my bench this week in fantasy football.
Mahomes.
Yes.
You benched Mahomes.
Yes.
Sending a message to your team.
Now, I don't know if it's going to stay that way. You don't play till Sunday. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
My initial reaction is, well, I got Jared Goff.
Yeah. There's points there.
Right? Like Mahomes is not really getting me points.
I have Purdy sitting on my bench. I have Josh Allen up there. Purdy keeps putting up numbers, too. Can you imagine benching Patrick Mahomes in fantasy?
Yeah. That's why I said it's early. It's not Sunday. I may wake up Sunday like, nah, I think I need to have him in there.
215-592-9494. Noel in Boston. You're on WIP.
You got it right, Spike. It's Noel. I can thank Jack for that. It's been a while since I called. Nice to meet you, and it's an honor to speak with you. But I think I got to take you to task on my first call, if that's okay.
Wait, me?
Get him.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay, Noel.
No, you and Ike, I got to take you both to task.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, this whole conversation, Nick, Jalen, Nick, what's the problem? And what are we asking about this football team? What are the problems? They got slow starts, right? What's the football team's identity? What's up with the play calling? You know, is Jalen limited? And I kind of feel like you guys try to take Kurt's words and twist what he was actually saying. Like at one point, Spike, you said, I feel like Kurt was twisting himself in a pretzel not to throw Jalen under the bus. But I think Kurt was saying exactly how he felt, right? And he had a different take. I enjoyed who was the old GM that you had on?
Mike Lombardi.
Yeah, Lombardi. I liked his take too, and I took some value from that. But I think what Kurt said means something. Like, they haven't really run this RPO offense, which is what Jalen was comfortable with, right? And like Kurt said, he had two concepts that they run over and over and over, and he said because they're good at it. They connect with it. But they don't even run it.
Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't.
Well, we don't know if it works.
Sure we do.
Well, yeah.
They run it.
But Spike, here's the thing. We'll run the football, right, and get 3 yards, and they abandon the run game. Like, why are we paying Saquon $27.5 million, and he's not touching the football?
Dude, in the NFL, he's like 8th in touches per game. He's 8th. And can I tell you this? Hold on. He's like 8th in touches per game. And one of the reasons that his touches aren't even higher is because they're never winning. When you see the players who have more touches than Saquon Barkley, it's players whose teams are up, which means he gets the ball. And you don't, I'm sorry, everyone says, well, we ran it 3 yards, and then we didn't run it again. Jalen Hurts has to throw the football sometimes. I'm sorry. You can't just run it for 2 yards every time and then hope that Saquon's going to. And the defenses now, if the last two defenses are any indication, are going to decide that they're going to put extra guys on the line of scrimmage to stop Saquon Barkley running.
They're saying we're going to make Jalen Hurts beat us.
I hear you, but I'll make one statement and then 2 quick points, and I'll go because I know you guys got other calls to get to.
Yes, sir.
At one point in this game last Sunday, Jalen started slow, but at one point he was 10 for 10 with a touchdown. So he can throw the ball.
Wait, hold on. So was Deshaun Watson.
Who was? He was 10 for 10?
Yes. I think he was 13 for 14. I think he was 13 for 14 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the worst quarterback in the NFL.
But that's our defense's fault. That's another conversation. But here you go. You're going to put that on Jalen?
Just because Jalen was 10 for 10 at one point doesn't make Jalen doing the job that we need him to do.
I understand that. But here, beginning of the season, it was like, can't handle the blitz. He's been doing really well at that. Then it was, right, we got to stop the turnovers. He didn't have any turnovers on Sunday. Was it a fantastic, great game, blow our doors off? No, but he was efficient. It was what, 68% completions, two touchdowns?
Yeah, I thought he played a good game Sunday.
He played a good game.
Yeah.
But here's the points I really wanted to make. This is why I think this comes back to Sirianni, is this team has no identity. Whose job is it in an NFL franchise to set the identity for the football team? Who sets the identity for the Detroit Lions? Who sets the identity for the 49ers?
Mm-hmm.
Who sets the identity for the Chargers now? Whose job is that?
It's the head coach.
And whose job is it to have your team prepared coming off a bye week to play one of the worst teams in football and score points? Whose job is that?
It's the head coach.
Yeah.
It's the head coach.
Yeah, but what I would say here, Noel, is that no one is disagreeing about those particular things. But if we're talking about why the offense specifically looks the way it does, let's even forget about them executing. Why does it look? Why are they running a very simple offense? Why are they only throwing outside the hash marks on the side of the field? Why are they always in shotgun? All these things that people are asking because they said they expected to see something different. That's Jalen.
It could be, but what did we see all through OTAs and training camp? What did they install
Nothing.
In OTAs and training camps?
We didn't see anything because it wasn't televised.
Well, no, there was play action that was televised. As a matter of fact, the very first play of this season against the Packers, Jalen was under center, and the play to the throw to Calcaterra last week.
Yeah,
right. That was at a pistol where you can put the back directly behind the quarterback.
Yeah, but pistol's not under center. It's not the same thing.
It's not under center, but it was still a play action roll out pass to the right that got us 20 some yards. What I'm saying is to answer your question about why is it the same offense? I mean, it is clear that whatever game plan was installed and practiced during OTAs and training camp is not what's on the field today. And I think it is obvious. I mean, Nick told us. What did he say 2 weeks ago in the press conference? Yeah, Kellen's in the driver's seat. But like when I'm driving the car, my wife is sitting in the passenger seat. She's telling me where to go, and I'm doing sort of the same thing.
So no, I just don't agree.
He should not have said that.
Yeah, and here's
he
what
not have
can
said
I tell
that.
You what the biggest difference is? He's actually playing teams that are trying to defend them now. I mean, when there's an enormous difference. I've never been in training camp, but I'm sure Ike can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's an enormous difference between how the defense on your own team is playing you in training camp and when another team that is trying to obliterate you and can actually hit you is playing you. And the speed of what is happening now, before you go, give us your face of the 2000s.
Oh, wait. Okay. One quick question and I will give my face.
Sure.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Maybe, is it possible that Jalen is having struggles because he's got two different voices and two different ears giving him two different philosophies?
I don't believe that's possible.
Yeah. I just don't. I guess
anything is possible. I just don't believe that's happening.
They have such a close eye on him right now, especially considering they almost fired him. And think about this, Noel. Think about this. You're Kellen Moore. You got hired by Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie. This was not a Nick Sirianni pick. So you're Kellen Moore. Your career on some level depends on the success that you have here. So you get here and you are told you're going to run the offense. They get it out there publicly. You're going to run the offense. And all of a sudden, Nick Sirianni's coming in there and going, no, do this. Don't you think if you were Kellen Moore, you would just go to Howie Roseman and say, this guy's not letting me do what I need to do?
I think he should. So if we lose on Sunday, I don't think we will. But if we do, and the offense doesn't look great, do we need to hear from Howie or Jeffrey next week?
Well, they don't speak during the season.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably want to. All right, let me give you my person. Good show, guys. This is a great conversation. Look, I hope we win. I'm kind of with Jack. I feel like we're going to win.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to go on some crazy run, but I feel like we're going to win this game. I think Cincinnati will be a test. That's
Give us your
test.
Face of the 2000s, Noel.
All right. I like you guys. I wish I could hang out here all day.
All right.
I don't know if this was said because I actually had to get off the phone for a while. I just drove up here from Philly, actually. I'm going to go with, now I'm forgetting his name, Russell Crowe.
That's a good one.
Russell Crowe.
It's a good one. It's absolutely a good one.
I think Gladiator came out in May of 2000, so he kicked off the decade, and I'd say that's an iconic film.
Yeah, I love Gladiator.
Yeah, I love Gladiator.
There you go.
Are you going to see Gladiator too?
I'll see it. No. I don't have very high expectations, but I'll see it. I loved Gladiator.
Yeah. I don't even normally like those type of movies, but I like that one.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But there's something that movie, that movie.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the love interest?
I don't remember. We'll have her.
I don't think she was she wasn't a famous actress, right? I forget.
It's been so long since I've seen
that
movie.
Gladiator is that's a classic.
Yes.
Yeah, I might watch that.
I thought Jack was looking up the love interest.
Well, it's Connie Nielsen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's who it is. Yeah.
Gladiator 2 has some big actors in it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, everyone's favorite portion of the
WIP. Denzel's in Gladiator 2.
Oh, I don't think
Denzel Washington is?
Yeah.
I'm definitely out.
You're out? I thought you loved Denzel.
I do.
You don't want to see him in Gladiator?
Well, I didn't see any brothers in the other two Gladiators I watched.
Well, this is a new era.
I'm talking about the, who was the original? Charlton Heston, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did the original.
Yeah. What? So there can't be a black guy now?
Well, I'm just saying. It doesn't stay true to the Gladiator thing, man.
Okay. All right. Coming up next.
I don't know why I said that.
Well, it was funny. I liked it. Now I'm going to think of well, whatever. I don't want to go down that road. Coming up next, everybody's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show, the top 5 at 5. Jack, what do we have in store? Give us a tease.
People I disappoint the most.
Oh.
People you disappoint the most? No, or people that have disappointed you?
No, that I disappoint.
Oh, I could come up with my own list. I'm going to do my own top 5 after that. Top 5 most disappointing things Jack has done. Yeah, that's next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
All right, let me tell you about one of the biggest events of the year going on now through October 26th. Now, it's the Marks Jewelers annual half-off, half-the-shore sale. That's right, 50% off select diamond engagement rings, wedding bands, diamond bracelets, earrings, watches, and more. Marks Jewelers half-off, half-the-store sale is happening at both Marks Jewelers locations in Montgomeryville, PA, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Get an early jump on the holidays with the perfect gift from Marks. Check them out online at marks-jewelers.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. If you are planning on Bill Belichick, there is a wrench in that plan. We will get to that right after we talk to Corey in Columbus. Corey, you're on WIP. You're the seventh hitter today. So you're like the Brandon Marsh of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Well, I thought you were about to, talk about Bill Belichick, but it's better to bring me to the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey man, Spike, hey, Ike is right. What you talking about? You talking about the Queen Bee? That's why she made this song upgrade you. She had a
tell that's
you,
true.
Like, you wearing jerseys and jeans. I put you in the Armani suit. Gotta let me upgrade you. Man, he didn't come a billionaire till he got with the Queen. Don't man, Queen Bee, it ain't even close, baby. Jay-Z, you a goat and all that, you know, entrepreneur, but Queen Bee took you to the next
level. A lot of R&B singers, not and very many Jay-Zs.
He went from ashy to classy when he got with Beyonce.
Hey, Spike, you a bulldog. I love you. You love to argue. But you know what I noticed about you, Spike?
It's in my blood, brother. Yeah.
You know what you got that Otis syndrome. You know what Otis is? Otis syndrome?
No.
Also a Jay-Z song.
Well, I know Otis is a Jay-Z song. No, well, that was a Crown song. It was a
Kanye.
Otis was a Jay-Z Kanye song. Yep. But yeah, go ahead.
But Ike, remember all the Temptations when he was like, they coming to see the Temptations. He said, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. Yeah, Bike, did you? We coming to listen to it. We coming to listen to the afternoon show, Bike. Come on now. I think this is a solo act.
No. Look, Corey, just because you're used to the person sitting in this chair not having any opinions doesn't mean that I don't.
Oh, now he's throwing.
I'm just saying.
Hey, but let's get on the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a must-win Sunday. Every game, and today, 6-2. 7-3 is must win. They got some kind of disease going through this locker room, and they got to get this cured. And the only way to cure this is winning. And I don't care if Jalen Hurts got to hand the ball off 50 feet. Because, see, I know what y'all want to try to do. Y'all want to try to twist it. I don't see – I'm a Jalen Hurts supporter. That's my man. But I don't give a damn about how they win. I don't care if he throw the ball zero times and we hand it off 50. If we win the game, that's all I care about. I'm birds over everything. And I need to get this win, and I need to get this, you know, this mentality and this bad, you know, juju out of my locker room. So we got to win against the New Jersey Giants on Sunday. It's a must win, a must W. And you know what? Jalen Hurts might go ahead and have a good game. I might throw that in there. You know, he might do a little something on Sunday.
Might need him to.
Yeah.
Might need him to.
Well, if the Giants are going to decide that Saquon's not beating him, it's going to be.
I don't care about no Giants. You, the New Jersey Giants, please. That's the opening act, man. Come on, man. We ain't worried about them.
Well, I'd be worried about a couple of guys on their defensive line if I were you. Yeah.
I ain't worried about who am I supposed to be worried about? Sexy Dexy? Come on, man.
Dude, he's got 7 sacks. He's a tackle.
Hey,
damn, 7?
He's got 7 sacks.
Damn. A defensive player.
That's pretty good.
He had a blocked field goal, but I ain't seen touch the quarterback.
Look, and by the way, Burns is there too. Brian Burns is there too, who's also really good. Burns is going to, he'll probably just line up over Fred Johnson
Thomas.
The whole time.
That's okay. That's all right.
Well, your boy better have a good game.
Hey, man, we're going on a run. Like I said, it's a must win until we 7-3.
Wait till Jack Fritz saves the Eagles season.
Let me get my icon.
Yeah, of the 2000s. Okay.
Yep. So this is this is above a lot of people's heads. See, because me, I was a 90s baby, but I grew up in the 2000s. Remember how Mia Hamm was like the lady soccer player on all the commercials with Jordan and all that?
Oh yeah,
she was.
That's my icon of the 2000s.
Mia Hamm?
Yeah.
That's a big answer.
I don't ever try to dip me.
That's a good answer.
Man, I know who she is.
Okay.
Corey's like,
how do you go with me? Hold on. I know there's one other female that was much more of a face of the 2000s than Mia Hamm.
Right. You right, but I didn't know if somebody already said that.
Okay.
Misty May Traynor?
I don't want to give, a big ass off the board. I'm trying to mix it up. I create.
Okay, my bad.
This guy's like, Jay-Z's not really that big. I'm picking Mia Hamm. What are you talking about? All right, Corey.
All right.
Thank you, man. Wow, what a call from Corey.
Mia Hamm, I would not have expected that.
By the way.
She was a North Carolina player. That's why she was in the commercials.
By the way, this guy, Jack Fritz over here, does a new Twitter poll, by the way, which is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers.
What did he do?
Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's, online at marks-jewelers.com.
Just like I make you feel like a world champion every day.
Does Spike need to move back to New York if the Eagles lose to the Giants on Sunday? Now, for what it's worth, I have not moved. I still live in North Jersey.
There, yeah.
And I don't think there's a job for me in New York. What do you think the poll results are here?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine that's over 90%.
81%.
Not bad. Warming up to some people.
I just don't like how we're taking away responsibility from the sports teams and putting it all on me. But by the way, this is just like the Bryce thing. If it turns around, do I get to take credit?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, well, nobody wanted to give me credit when I made Bryce hustle. You know, and have a good game.
One game.
Yeah, wow.
For one game.
Well, that's on him.
You couldn't pull all the stops.
Yeah, that's on him, yeah.
couldn't do something in the NLDS?
Well, JT doesn't listen to the radio station. Trey Turner doesn't listen to the radio station. That one's on you, Fritz.
Yeah. Trey definitely shouldn't listen to the radio station.
No.
You can't handle it.
No. Wait till you're in Detroit with Tobias. Then you can listen to the radio station. You guys can listen together. All right. So, if you've heard, it's been approved that Tom Brady is now a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's going to still be an announcer, a national announcer, is beyond me. But he is a Raiders owner now. Kirk Minahan, who used to be a host on our station in Boston, WEEI, and now does a podcast for Barstool, still in Boston, has connections within Boston. And Kirk said the following. So if you had a dream that Bill Belichick was going to coach here, I think Tom Brady's word, and there is something, you know, we think of the Giants with Bill Belichick, you know, that he might go there, mm-hmm. but there is something Hollywood-esque about him going to the Raiders. He seems like he could be a really good Raiders head coach, I think.
Yeah, I would have never envisioned him in the silver and black, but yeah, I guess so. And especially if Tom Brady is there and is going to try to sell him on coming to Vegas. There's no quarterback there.
Yeah.
So
not right now.
Yeah, like yeah. So they would certainly now they find a way to get Shedeur Sanders.
They could.
Yeah.
They could sign Sam Darnold.
Could sign Sam Darnold this offseason. That would be Yeah, if I'm Bill Belichick, I don't have time for a rookie quarterback.
No.
Well, yeah, especially because of the Mac Jones debacle.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah, and he's not going to be a guy that develops anybody, so you may as well get a veteran in there if you're going to get Bill Belichick.
Well,
he's going to have some options, man. I mean, the Giants might be actually playing too well. They might believe in Dable.
I don't think it matters.
Either way.
Yeah.
Jets, possibly Giants, possibly Eagles, possibly Cowboys. The Cowboys, should be the Cowboys, and Las Vegas. I mean, that's five.
Yeah,
that should be landing spots for him.
See, the thing with the Cowboys.
Does he want to deal with Jerry Jones?
That's the thing with the Cowboys. Like, does he want to be involved in that?
By the way, I don't know if you saw his follow-up quotes, but Jerry Jones doubled down on what he said on a podcast with Diane Rossini. And he said something to the effect of, you know, if people are going to say that about me, it's not going to be people that I'm paying that say that. And he does not pay those guys in Dallas at all. I don't think Jerry's paying so many people.
He don't even know.
He doesn't know. He does not pay Shannon RJ in Dallas one penny. So, yeah, I guess unless Jerry Jones is willing to say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore as GM or whatever, but mm-hmm. I don't think Jerry Jones walks away from
there's no way he's walking away from being a GM.
And if Tom Brady got rid
of two Hall of Fame coaches,
yeah.
Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, if the option to go to, now, if the Raiders need a quarterback, we mentioned Sam Darnold, you know, who is going to be a free agent. Could I interest him in a young, but a quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl, has five seasons under his belt, is already under contract. You know, he just wins.
Trade Jalen.
Yeah.
Trade Jalen. Okay.
Also, Carson, a free agent.
Oh, God.
Broncos, a free agent this summer.
Come on.
That's right.
Come on.
Patrick Mahomes keeps this nonsense up. We're gonna put Carson in.
Yeah, if Patrick keeps stalling this offense out, they're going to need a real quarterback in there.
On a side note,
yeah,
I've already put him on my bench this week in fantasy football.
Mahomes?
Yes.
You benched Mahomes?
Yes.
Sending a message to your team?
Now, I don't know if it's going to stay that way. Don't play till Sunday. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
My initial reaction is, well, I got Jared Goff.
Yeah. There's points there.
Right? Like, yeah, like Mahomes is not really getting me points.
I have Purdy sitting on my bench. I have Josh Allen up there. Purdy keeps putting up numbers, too. Can you imagine benching Patrick Mahomes in fantasy?
Yeah. That's why I said it's early. It's not Sunday. I may wake up Sunday like, I think I need to have him in there.
215-592-9494. Noel in Boston. You're on WIP.
You got it right, Spike. It's Noel. I can thank Jack for that. It's been a while since I called. Nice to meet you, and it's an honor to speak with you. And but I think I got to take you to task on my first call, if that's okay.
Wait, me?
Get him.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay, Noel.
You and Ike. I got to take you both to task.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, this whole conversation, Nick, Jalen, Nick, what's the problem? And what are we asking about this football team? What are the problems? They got slow starts, right? What's the football team's identity? What's up with the play calling? You know, is Jalen limited? And I kind of feel like you guys try to take Kurt's words and twist what he was actually saying. Like at one point, Spike, you said, I feel like Kurt was twisting himself in a pretzel not to throw Jalen under the bus. But I think Kurt was saying exactly how he felt, right? And he had a different take. I enjoyed who was the old GM that you had on?
Mike Lombardi.
Yeah, Lombardi. I liked his take too, and I took some value from that. But I think what Kurt said means something. Like,
they haven't really run this RPO offense, which is what Jalen was comfortable with, right? And like Kurt said, he had two concepts that they run over and over and over, and he said because they're good at it. They connect with it. But they don't even run it.
Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't.
We don't know if it works.
Sure we do.
Well, yeah.
They run it.
But Spike, here's the thing. We'll run the football, right, and get 3 yards, and they abandon the run game. Like, why are we paying Saquon $27.5 million, and he's not touching the football?
Dude, in the NFL, he's like 8th in touches per game. He's 8th. And can I tell you this?
Hold on.
He's like 8th in touches per game. And one of the reasons that his touches aren't even higher is because they're never winning. When you see the players who have more touches than Saquon Barkley, it's players whose teams are up, which means he gets the ball. I'm sorry. Everyone says, well, we ran it 3 yards, and then we didn't run it again. Jalen Hurts has to throw the football sometimes. I'm sorry. You can't just run it for 2 yards every time and then hope that Saquon's going to. And the defenses now, if the last two defenses are any indication, are going to decide that they're going to put extra guys on the line of scrimmage to stop Saquon Barkley running.
They're saying, we're going to make Jalen Hurts beat us.
I hear you, but I'll make one statement and then two quick points, and I'll go because I know you guys got other calls to get to.
Yes, sir.
At one point in this game last Sunday, Jalen started slow, but at one point he was 10 for 10 with a touchdown. So he can throw the ball.
Wait, hold on. So was Deshaun Watson.
Who was? He was 10 for 10?
Yes. I think it was 13 for 14. I think he was 13 for 14 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the worst quarterback in the NFL.
But that's our defense's fault. That's another conversation. But here you go. You're going to put that on Jalen?
Just because Jalen was 10 for 10 at one point doesn't make Jalen doing the job that we need him to do.
I understand that. But here, beginning of the season, it was like, can't handle the blitz. He's been doing really well at that. Mm-hmm. Then it was, right, we got to stop the turnovers. He didn't have any turnovers on Sunday. Was it a fantastic, great game, blow our doors off? No, but he was efficient. It was what, 68% completions, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, I thought he played a good game Sunday.
He played a good game. Yeah. But here's the points I really wanted to make. This is why I think this comes back to Sirianni, is this team has no identity. Whose job is it in an NFL franchise to set the identity for the football team? Who sets the identity for the Detroit Lions? Who sets the identity for the 49ers?
Mm-hmm.
Who sets the identity for the Chargers now? Whose job is that?
It's the head coach.
And whose job is it to have your team prepared coming off a bye week to play one of the worst teams in football and score points? Whose job is that?
It's the head coach.
Yeah.
It's the head coach.
Yeah, but what I would say here, Noel, is that no one is disagreeing about those particular things.
Right.
But if we're talking about why the offense specifically looks the way it does. Let's even forget about them executing. Why does it look? Why are they running a very simple offense? Why are they only throwing outside the hash marks on the side of the field? Why are they always in shotgun? All these things that people are asking because they said they expected to see something different. That's Jalen.
It could be, but what did we see all through OTAs and training camp? What did they install
Nothing.
In OTAs and training camps?
We didn't see anything because it wasn't televised.
Well, there was play action that was televised. As a matter of fact, the very first play of this season against the Packers, Jalen was under center, and the play to the throw to Calcaterra
last week was at a
pistol where mm-hmm. you can put the back directly behind the quarterback.
Yeah, but pistol's not under center. It's not the same thing.
It's not under center, but it was still a play action roll out pass to the right that got us 20 some yards. What I'm saying is to answer your question about why is it the same offense? I mean, it is clear that whatever game plan was installed and practiced during OTAs and training camp is not what's on the field today. And I think it is obvious. I mean, Nick told us. What did he say 2 weeks ago in the press conference? Yeah, Kellen's in the driver's seat. But like when I'm driving the car, my wife is sitting in the passenger seat. She's telling me where to go, and I'm doing sort of the same thing.
So no, I just don't agree.
He should not have said that.
Can I tell you what the biggest difference is? He's actually playing teams that are trying to defend them now. I mean, when there's an enormous difference. I've never been in training camp, but I'm sure Ike can attest to this. Mm-hmm. There's an enormous difference between how the defense on your own team is playing you in training camp and when another team that is trying to obliterate you and can actually hit you is playing you. And the speed of what is happening now, before you go, give us your face of the 2000s.
Oh, wait. Okay. One quick question, and I will give my face.
Sure.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Maybe, is it possible that Jalen is having struggles because he's got two different voices and two different ears giving him two different philosophies?
I don't believe that's possible.
Yeah. I guess
anything is possible. I just don't believe that's happening.
They have such a close eye on him right now, especially considering they almost fired him. And think about this, Noel. Think about this. You're Kellen Moore. You got hired by Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie. This was not a Nick Sirianni pick. So you're Kellen Moore. Your career on some level depends on the success that you have here. So you get here and you are told you're going to run the offense. They get it out there publicly. You're going to run the offense. And all of a sudden, Nick Sirianni's coming in there and going, no, do this. Don't you think if you were Kellen Moore, you would just go to Howie Roseman and say, this guy's not letting me do what I need to do?
I think he should. So if we lose on Sunday, I don't think we will. But if we do, and the offense doesn't look great, do we need to hear from Howie or Jeffrey next week?
Well, they don't speak during the season.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably want to. All right, let me give you my person. Good show, guys. This is a great conversation. Look, I hope we win. I'm kind of with Jack. I feel like we're going to win.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to go on some crazy run, but I feel like we're going to win this game. I think Cincinnati will be a test. That's
Give us your test. Face of the 2000s, Noel.
All right. I like you guys. I wish I could hang out here all day.
All right.
I don't know if this was said because I actually had to get off the phone for a while. I just drove up here from Philly, actually. I'm going to go with, now I'm forgetting his name, Russell Crowe.
That's a good one.
Russell Crowe.
That's a good one. It's absolutely a good one.
I think Gladiator came out in May of 2000, so he kicked off the decade, and I'd say that's an iconic film.
Yeah, I love Gladiator.
Yeah,
I love
Gladiator.
There you go.
Are you going to see Gladiator too?
I'll see it. No. I don't have very high expectations, but I'll see it. I loved Gladiator.
Yeah. I don't even normally like those type of movies, but I like that one.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But there's something, that movie, that movie.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the love interest?
I don't remember.
I don't think she was a she wasn't a famous actress, right?
I forget. It's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Gladiator is that's a classic.
Yes.
Yeah, I might watch that.
I thought Jack was looking up the love interest.
Well, it's Connie Nielsen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's who it is. Yeah.
Gladiator too has some big actors in it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, everyone's favorite portion of the
Denzel's in Gladiator too.
Oh, I don't think
Denzel Washington is.
Yeah.
I'm definitely out.
You're out. I thought you loved Denzel.
I do.
You don't want to see him in Gladiator?
Well, I didn't see any brothers in the other two Gladiators I watched.
Well, this is a new era.
I'm talking about the, who was the original? Charlton Heston, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did the original.
Yeah. What? So there can't be a black guy now?
Well, I'm just saying. It doesn't stay true to the Gladiator thing, man.
Okay. All right. Coming up next.
I don't know why I said that.
Well, it was funny. I liked it. Now I'm going to think of, whatever. I don't want to go down that road. Coming up next, everybody's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show, the top 5 at 5. Jack, what do we have in store? Give us a tease.
People I disappoint the most.
Oh.
People you disappoint the most? No, or people that have disappointed you?
No, that I disappoint.
Okay. Uh-oh, I could come up with my own list. I'm going to do my own top 5 after that. Top 5 most disappointing things Jack has done. Yeah, that's next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
All right, let me tell you about one of the biggest events of the year going on now through October 26th. Now, it's the Marks Jewelers annual half-off, half-the-shore sale. That's right, 50% off select diamond engagement rings, wedding bands, diamond bracelets, earrings, watches, and more. Marks Jewelers half-off, half-the-store sale is happening at both Marks Jewelers locations in Montgomeryville, PA, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Get an early jump on the holidays with the perfect gift from Marks. Check them out online at marks-jewelers.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.